fuel, we are at the evaluation stage, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Just to tell a little bit about myself, I work in DOE headquarters in the Office of Environmental Management, and I have been designated as the lead in evaluating on what we can do with this project. As far as the presentation outline, I'll talk about the environmental assessment or the NEPA process that has recently been underway, and I will also spend a little bit about talk a little bit about the background and how we got to where we are right now, because I think it's very important for you know, to provide some context on how we got here. And also in terms of soliciting public comments as part of our NEPA process as well, that we really would value a comment from the public into our evaluation stage. By way of background, it's been a longstanding policy by the United States to reduce the amount of highly enriched uranium that's been made available around the world as part of the Atoms for Peace program, where we, the United States, provided highly enriched uranium to our international partners to be used for, when we sent this out under the Atoms for Peace program, we sent out to be used for peaceful purposes and to discourage other countries to develop the capability to, you know, to produce highly enriched uranium. And as part of that, we have also been taking back the highly enriched uranium once these other countries are done with the use for research purposes of this material in the research reactors. We have been taking back that material so that we can safeguard that and then disposition them in a manner so that, to the extent practicable, that where we could reuse them as commercial nuclear fuel, or render them so that it would be in a form that would be safe and that it couldn't be used for illicit use, either as a weapon of mass destruction or a radiological dispersal device, or some other means that could be used in a harmful manner. And as most of you may know, that the Savannah River site has had a long-standing history in supporting this U.S. policy. The Savannah River site has taken a lot of the highly enriched uranium in the form of spent nuclear fuel from many countries throughout the world. Savannah River site has also, while putting that in safekeeping and safe storage, Savannah River site has also converted a lot of the highly enriched uranium into low enriched uranium, and it's, you know, for production to commercial reactor fuel. Now, this German pebble bed reactor fuel that we're talking about is a part of that. This is U.S. origin highly enriched uranium. It's about 900 kgs, kilograms of highly enriched uranium that was sent to Germany for peaceful uses and peaceful research. This is, and I have some slides that I will describe in a little bit more detail, but this is very different from the type of fuels that we've received before. Typically, the type of research reactor fuels that we have accepted are in the form of plates. Spent nuclear fuel is clad in aluminum, and some of them in stainless steel or zirconium, and then most of this fuel that we've been taking back from our foreign partners are been received here at the Savannah River site. They're in storage at the L Basin facility, and some of them, the non-aluminum fuels, we've been receiving them at the Idaho site, and part of the our rationale why we received the aluminum-based fuels is we have the H Canyon facility at the Savannah River site, where our plan is to process this aluminum fuel, recover the uranium and downblend that into low enriched fuel so that it could be used for commercial reactor fuel. And this German pebble bed reactor fuel is very different in that, and I have some pictures here show you about this fuel. They're very different. I mean, it does contain HEU, but it's they're about the size of billiard balls, and there's a lot of graphite. I mentioned there's about 900 kgs of this HEU. So the cladding is graphite as opposed to aluminum, aluminum cladding, and there's about a million, slightly under a million of these spheres. And so, so there's quite a bit of this material. And how this got started was that basically the undersecretary of the German government for the Ministry of Education and Research, who had responsibility for the fuel, pebble bed reactor fuel, wrote a letter to then Undersecretary Tom DiAgostino, who was also had the position as heading up the NNSA at that time, requesting the United States to see if we would consider accepting this U.S. origin HEU from Germany. At that time, the Office of Environmental Management and the NNSA all reported to Undersecretary Tom DiAgostino. It was determined that that EM would conduct a feasibility evaluation to see whether or not this is something that we could do. And in fact, I was designated to be the head of a team to just evaluate and see whether or not this is one thing we could do. And I think most of you may know Maxime. Maxime is my project lead in heading up that evaluation. And so one of the things that we did was, of course, talk to the Germans and kind of find out more about this fuel and learn more about it. And we wanted to understand, you know, what the history was, and also what has been done today to attempt to disposition this fuel. The German government has conveyed to us, but this is their urgency, that they said that they have fuel that's stored at the Jülich facility. This is in Jülich, Germany, where they've expressed to us that their urgency, that they would like to be able to de-inventory that fuel by June of 2016, because they have a storage license that is expiring, and they're looking at available options, including the possibility of sending that to the U.S., and they would like to know if that is feasible. They also have some fuel at the Ahaus facility that's in storage right now, and that's also under consideration, but their main driver is the fuel at the Jülich facility. And one of the first things that we did was, in trying to understand, was, you know, learn what the experience base was with this, because when under the current foreign research reactor acceptance program right now, this type of fuel was excluded, because at that time the thinking was, well, we do not have a disposition path for this fuel, unlike the aluminum fuels that we could process in each can and convert to LEU. One of our criteria was that if we are to accept this fuel, is that what is the disposition path out for this fuel, because we don't want to just have this fuel for storage. We have to figure out a way to safely disposition this fuel, the material, and also the waste that would result from processing this fuel. And one of the things, and I think Maxine has alluded to this in a public meeting 2 weeks ago, is that we learned that the Germans sent some unirradiated pebble balls to Scotland at the Dunray facility. It's near Thurso, Scotland. It's the most northern tip of Scotland. And we actually sat down and talked with them to find out what they know and what their experience was. And at that time, the UK, they received some of these unirradiated pebble balls, and they had, I guess maybe to make a long story short, they had a very difficult, it was very problematic for them, because they tried all different types of thermal and mechanical means to basically remove the graphite. And when I describe this field later, I mean, this is a lot of there's a lot of graphite in order to get to the HEU. And to make a long story short, they said that they basically ran their equipment to failure. They said they were able to get the HEU, but and convert that to LEU, but they said that this was something they wouldn't undertake again, and we took that to heart. and we were really concerned because I said, in our discussions with the Germans at that time, we said, you know, based on what we know and what the experience to date was, is that if we were to just look at that right now, this is something that we cannot do now. At the same time, I think I'm going to toot the horn here of the Savannah River National Lab, because we really, I mean, I think I'm preaching to the choir here, where I say that I think we really have some of the best and brightest people in the country, if not the world. Because when we were talking about this, there was a couple of scientists that came up with an idea. They said, well, you know, one of the things that they were looking at is that, you know, if we were to look at this, I mean, attempts of, you know, previous attempts hadn't worked. They came up with, say, well, maybe we can come up with a chemical means of removing the graphite. And part of that, too, was that part of their motivation was that they wanted to develop a process that would basically fit in line with the existing capability at the site. As most of you may know, the HKN facility is a large-scale nuclear chemical processing facility. They said, well, we're going to have to, if we are to disposition and process this fuel, we're going to have to convert it to a chemical solution that we know how to deal with and not have to make major changes into the existing infrastructure. And so we did convey that to the Germans. They said that, you know, we have some ideas by our scientists. You know, if this is something that you are willing to fund just as research. We made no promises to them. We told them that by virtue of research, we don't know if it'll work, how long it would take, whether or not it's going to be successful, but here's an idea that was proposed by some scientists at Savannah River National Lab. And the German, and we said, and we don't have any funding to do this either, so you're going to have to pay funding. So some of you may be aware that we entered into a Work for Others agreement with the Germans to evaluate this chemical approach that the Savannah River National Lab has came up with. And much to everyone's surprise, I think that that worked turned out to be promising, where what they've done is, and they were collaborating with the research center in Germany, the Jülich Research Center, where they have been able to digest and remove a lot of the graphite. And I'll show some pictures here of some of the results they have on single pebble fuels. And so they said, at least chemically, we know this process could work, and this is a lab scale, it could work, and they have a better idea of what would happen with the resulting waste, what to do with that. So they said that there seems to be some promise. And so based on that, if it wasn't for the results of that, that we probably wouldn't even be talking about this project at this point. We would just say, well, you know, we looked at it and that's it, we can't disposition this material. And so we then talked to the German government and we told them, well, there seems to be, you know, some potential for this. However, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's about 1 million of these balls, and if we can do a chemical process to digest the fuel, and basically they can do this in about a day, one ball. A million balls. That's not a very a good throughput. I mean, that's not a practical thing. And so, what we told them that if we really are to get serious about this in our evaluation, is that we really need to determine how we can do this in a large scale process. And that's a whole totally different matter than playing with or doing some research on sample size and you know, one ball at a time. And so we set a requirement for ourselves, and we conveyed this to the Germans, that our goal is that, you know, we have to be able to do this in a large scale process. We set a requirement of can we do this at 1,000 pebbles a day? Normally we're thinking, okay, that would be if you just do simple math, it would be about 3 years. We think that is a reasonable goal to achieve. And that is, and so earlier this year, we entered into another agreement with the Germans where they are again funding what we're calling the engineering scale-up work for this project. And also, that work is not only important in us better understanding can we do this in a large-scale process, but it's also very important. It's kind of a lead into the environmental assessment that's underway because we are required by law to perform an environmental assessment or environmental analysis for this project. And some of the data and results coming out of this research is also going to feed into us evaluating, because at this point we have to make very conservative assumptions as to how much waste, where the waste will go, what type of waste is going to come out of this process. And so, but it's important to have some information, some real data as a result of that. So it kind of went hand in hand in terms of supporting the NEPA analysis as well as the additional technical work that needs to be done. And so at this point, we are conducting an environmental assessment to evaluate environmental impacts. This NEPA process, and I'll just kind of move forward with that. I think I mentioned this already. It's required by the National Environmental Policy Act. We published a notice of intent in June 2004 to prepare this environmental assessment, and about a little bit over 2 weeks ago, we had our first public meeting. As I mentioned earlier, we really are taking the opportunity to take public comments and input as we proceed with our evaluation, both from a technical standpoint and from a NEPA process. One of the things that we discussed within the department was that we decided that we really wanted to take an extra step to get some input from the public. And so what we've done, even though it wasn't required, but we just thought that it was a good thing to do, that we were going to have a public meeting under an EA, and then also once we have the draft available, that we'll also, and we haven't determined the date yet, but once the draft environmental assessment is available, we will also have another public meeting. And the way the process would be is that after we incorporate and address comments we receive from the public, we would then issue a final environmental assessment, and that could lead us into either two outcomes. One outcome is termed a finding of no significant impact, which means that the environmental impacts that were evaluated are not significant in terms of the impacts of the environment. And I'll discuss a little bit more of the scope of what's in the EA, or it could lead us to say that we have to prepare an environmental impact statement for this. Here's basically a diagram of the German HEU. I mentioned there are there's about a million of them. I wasn't able to bring a sample, but imagine like a billiard-sized ball of fuel. And if you take a cross-section of that fuel, you will see little tiny spheres about the size of sesame seeds that are dispersed throughout the fuel. Now, there's two types of fuel in here because as Germany was trying to develop this type of fuel, some of them have a silicon carbide coating, and there's different variations of this, but rather than getting to all the details of that, one has a silicon carbide coating that was good for, that was a further development that was good for retaining the fission products within the fuel particle. Some do not. That poses other challenges. But the actual the fuel itself is what's shown in there in reddish orange. It's a very tiny amount, and if you look at this, there is a lot of graphite in this, and that's the thing that was posing a challenge for us in order to then deal with the HEU. It's getting access to the HEU. As I mentioned, these are stored in two sites in Germany. There's about 455 of these casks. About a third of them are stored in the Jülich Research Center, and the remaining two-thirds are in the Ahaus storage facility. I think I mentioned this already. Basically, this was HE that was provided for the development of this type of reactor in Germany. They were using the ABR reactor that was at Jülich and the THTR 300, which is actually that's in Hamm, Germany. But that reactor has been basically D&D'd and the fuel has been transferred to Ahaus. This is a picture of the cask that the fuel is stored in. They're roughly about 9 feet tall, 4.5 feet wide. The picture to your right is more of a it's a smaller scale picture. It's not an actual cask, but it's inside the fuel pebbles. There's a cutaway there that you can see that they are stored in two types. This particular configuration shows two inner canisters. Some of the other casks only have one long canister instead of two canisters, but that's how they're stored. Right now, these casks are certified for transport within the country of Germany. However, one of the things that we also told the Germans is that even though it's certified in Germany, we also are in the process of basically doing a validation to determine whether or not the license for this cask in Germany would meet the U.S. requirements. So that evaluation is underway as well, because otherwise, I mean, you know, we wouldn't be able to transport the cask here in the United States. So efforts to date, I kind of touched on this a little bit. The separation of the graphite from of the fuel kernels from graphite was a big concern for us on in order for us to determine how we would then disposition this fuel, and we'll have some diagrams later on to kind of show the options that we're considering. That's also as part of the environmental assessment. All the research that has been done to date and that will continue to be done has been funded by the German government. To date, when we say here, I do want to qualify when we say that the chemical digestion is very successful. When we say that is at a lab scale, the best way it's been described to me by our scientists is that we know the process will work, but now we need to make sure that we can do this in a throughput, in a manner that can be done safely, and that we can do this in a short time frame. So we are trying to validate how we scale this up and how we optimize that, and trying to tie that in to the existing infrastructure at the site, at the Savannah River site, and then we have the NEPA underway. This is a picture of the results. This the picture on the left looks like a little coffee filter, but basically the results that have been done to date is that this molten salt process that Savannah River National Lab researchers, they're basically able to control the chemical reaction so that they can basically remove all the graphite, and all you're left is what you can see at the bottom of that little coffee filter looking basket, and also the picture to the right is you're essentially just left with the fuel kernels. And one of the other advantages of this is that not only do we remove the graphite, but I mentioned there's a total of 455 casks, each cask being 9 foot tall, 4.5 feet wide. By the time we do this, the volume reduction, you're basically, the amount of fuel, probably the best way I could describe this, you're down to about a gallon or two of fuel that's remaining out of all the fuel pebbles that are in that cask. So the significant volume reduction makes it a lot more easier for us to deal with the fuel and how to continue to process that. The alternatives being considered under this NEPA action is one, the no action alternative. If we determine that even from an environmental standpoint or from a technical standpoint that this is something that will is not going to work, then we take the no action alternative. We are looking at three options for disposition. There's a common step. The common step in this, and I'll show this in diagrams later, is that We do want to remove a lot of the graphite as much as possible and get the volume reduction. And then the three options we're considering right now, the first one, dissolution, purification, downblending to HEU, is basically a similar process of what we would do with other aluminum fuels that we have in the, and are planning to process in the HKN facility, hopefully by towards the end of this year, that we would basically in this manner, the chemical digestion process would remove the graphite as opposed to dissolving aluminum fuel, and then be able to purify that and then downblend that, mix it with natural uranium, and then send it to, in this case, TVA as low enriched uranium solution that could be converted into reactor fuel. One concern that we have is because there's a lot of thorium in this fuel, and that it may not meet the TVA specs, and so we're the specifications in order to fabricate into a commercial fuel. So we are also looking at other options where, if after the chemical digestion of the graphite, if it's not feasible to convert this into reactor fuel, then we would either vitrify that, and so that at least it would be in a stable form for storage, that it could not be the HEU would not be accessible for illicit use. Or another method would be, can be downblended other than vitrifying it and package it in a manner so that, again, it's in LEU form that could not be used as a highly enriched uranium for illicit use. This is just sort of a cartoon picture of what it would take. This picture shows the common processes that we would have to take. The casks are in storage in the two locations in Germany. They would basically be loaded off into what we call an ISO container. They would be transported by boat to the U.S. likely at the Joint Base Station, where and then they would be transported by rail to the Savannah River site. And then one of the things that we would have to develop is we're calling it a carbon digestion vessel, which is a chemical means of being able to remove the graphite, and then we would then accumulate the HE fuel kernels, and as I mentioned, we're achieving greater than 95% volume reduction, and then we would then do the dissolution and purification on the fuel kernels. The first option would be similar to what we would do to other research reactor fuels, would be that the HEU would then be run through the HKN facility, where we would downblend that into LEU product, and we send that to TBA for conversion to commercial fuel. And the fission products that are separated would be then vitrified into glass logs for storage awaiting final disposition. And then there's also the thorium and also the salt solution that would be developed would be basically converted in what you may be familiar with, the salt stone balls that we would be then disposing as low-level waste. The second option, if it's not viable to make this into LEU that could be used for commercial reactors, is that one option would be we would vitrify the HE with the other fission products and put that into glass logs for safe storage pending disposition, and then the salt solution would be disposed of in a matter of grab balls as low level waste. And then the third option, rather than converting them to glass logs, so we could do another means of downblending the HEU so that it is in LEU. And then we would dispose of that at the low level waste facility as well. The scope of the EA would consider basically all the activities that would, once it comes here to the United States, it would involve transportation from the weapon station, receipt and storage, the impacts of the carbon digestion process, what we would do with the fuel kernels, and how we would disposition that as described in the diagrams I showed earlier, and also the resulting waste. What would we do with all the waste? This is, I'm not going to go through this list, but this is the minimal list. Typically what we do in environmental analyses is that we would evaluate impacts to the population, the workers, emissions. I mean, you can read the laundry, the list of what we would evaluate, and this is fairly typical.